All right, everybody. You can be seated. So nice to see everyone on Mom's Day. We love Mom's Day, Mother's Day in the Vineyard because it's a tremendous historical things have happened to our whole movement on this particular day. And I'm not sure exactly why, but God's chosen this day for some reason. And I always feel an increase of faith for miracles and signs and wonders on this day. And part of it's because I think we experience that because we just give Mom the honor that she should be getting. And many times mothers are the backbone of families and churches, especially on the subject I'm going to talk about today, which is pursuing the Lord in prayer and asking for answers. We see that in the scriptures. And there just seems to persist a lovely anointing for praying for things on this day. And that's why whenever I think about coming to church on Mother's Day, I always get a happy face. I always think about that because I love to pray myself, but I've always admired the way I've watched women in particular and moms more specifically operate, especially in spiritual realms. And so I'm going to talk about the beauty of moms today, but especially from the context of their spirituality and their ability to relate to God in a ways that sometimes men forget or may not quite up to par on, especially in our culture. But actually, it's pretty cross-cultural. I've watched this through the years in various countries I've been in as well. The intercessory anointing seems to rest on certain women all over the world and in prayers, and they're busy. I mean, there's the church, and then there's the church. And that other church is praying things into motion and place. It's quite remarkable. It's quite international, by the way. So I love Mother's Day, and the Vineyard loves Mother's Day because of the amazing things that have happened to this entire movement on that particular day. So hopefully everybody has an outline. It should say the beauty of moms, the beauty of moms. And so you look at the top of your outline there. I just want to start with this. Moms show us how to persist in the weakness of prayer and divine destiny, purpose, and blessing coming forth. So weakness, of course, in the sense of it's simple. It's not anything spectacular. We don't have side effects. We don't have, you know what I mean? We don't have missiles going off or, you know, special music, whatever. Just their ability to persist, especially in the place where it's dark. And there's a weakness to it. How many ever felt weak in prayer? You're praying over something and you just feel like, I wonder if this is just a waste of time. Just feel like you don't have what it takes, right? You know, and don't feel a particular amount of faith that you think you should be feeling and so on and so forth. But moms have this ability, I've noticed through the years, and I'm saying moms in particular, but women in general, I would say, but moms in particular, maybe it's because of the birth process and the waiting and the season they've gone through, and then they come to that point of pregnancy. Because it's having a miracle is a lot like having a baby. I've never had a baby formally in my body, right? But I can tell the process is very similar. So hopefully everybody has an outline. It should say the beauty of moms. And so moms show us how to persist in the weakness of prayer until divine destiny, purpose, and blessing come forth. In other words, God has a plan in his heart to come forth. And I don't know why this is, but the scripture from Genesis to Revelation teaches us that prayer brings God's purposes into the light, into being, from what was not to what is. And so it's quite a remarkable thing. It's also a thing that American culture as a whole is not good at. Many nations of the world that I've been in have far more belief in their prayers and actually far more meditative anointing, you should say, and I would just say raw spiritual tenacity in them. We don't know that. Partially, I think maybe it's because of our busyness and because of our awareness of so many other things through media and so on. I'm not sure why. Also, I think poverty has something to do with it. When you're in poverty a lot, physical poverty, you have a tendency to have a sensitivity to praying because there isn't anything else going to deliver you, right? Especially when people become believers. one of the greatest joys I've seen throughout the whole world, especially in third world countries or poorer places, is that when they come to Jesus, knowing that they actually have access to someone in authority, and believing that they have someone in access and authority to change their problems, because technology or fancy medical treatments or other things are few and far between where they live, and so they find themselves throwing themselves on the Lord and finding a very, very good news that Jesus Christ still heals today. And the Bible for them is just like one big adventure book, thinking, finally, I found the one God, and I can pray to the one God, according to all these stories, some of which we're going to share today, and actually receive provision in my life. I think that in our culture, we get very distracted from this one thing, and we can think of so many other ways to solve our problems. But when you don't have those things and you're in one of those countries, you come to feel a tremendous amount of comfort and empowerment with prayer. So I think we should be able to do that. It's just a matter of revelation and insight here in America. And so particularly, I think moms show us the way. They're ahead of us at the very top of the list with regard to a prayer life. And there's a number of theories I could say about that, but I just want to look at the scripture and just show us. So my aim today is to encourage you moms, keep on praying, because your prayers certainly make a difference, and your friends in the Bible are from one end of the Bible to the other. And men, I'm just praying that you would get inspired, because it's not just a weak thing or a womanly thing, if that's the way you perceive it. It's a very powerful thing. It's where we get our strength. And God likes us to be humble. He likes that whole simple thing of humbling ourselves before Him. We see that from beginning to end. So I have an outline there. It says the beauty of moms. And I want to honor moms through this sermon and just pick out points in the Bible that help us understand. It's funny because we could go to fathers or we could go to sons or any kind of person, even leaders or whatever. All of them have certain anointings and certain ways to deal with Lord and certain things, ways God deals with them. But this ability of a mom to persist in the weakness of prayer until divine destiny, purpose, and blessing come forth is legendary, and it's quite international, quite international. We see this over and over again in nations where we go that don't know God very well, don't know very, very, you know, few people know Jesus. It's amazing. It seems that always the women are first. The women, we get toeholds and strength in places first with women. And almost always it's same in many areas of the world. The women get hit first and they start praying for everybody else, and then the husbands get saved, and then pretty soon you got a revival going on, right? Especially when the area is ripe. It's quite remarkable, actually. So it's kind of, I think we could learn something here, and maybe there's some things that we can dig out of scriptures through moms in the Bible to help us, all of us. First of all, you moms, to get fired up again with the anointing that's on you, supernaturally and naturally, and men, of course, to see the possibilities of what happens when we persist in the weakness of prayer until divine destiny, in other words, the very purposes of God for your life, are manifest. You think, well, that's a purpose, that's a destiny. It'll just come to pass no matter what. Actually, that's not true. I mean, God can bless you whether you say a word or not. Certainly, that's the way we were led for the Lord. We didn't deserve to be led, you know, to the Lord. We didn't deserve it at all. Just God set things up and circumstances and people came to us. But there is a persistence, there is something that we can do with regard to praying and interacting with God to bring blessing come forth. And so God seems to give moms an intuition, and I'm just going to start here with 1A, about, first of all, the good plans God has for their kids. So we see it in the very early part of Jesus' life, right? Right at the beginning, like getting earlier than this, before he's born, right? And two ladies are talking about the whole thing. So Mary has this visitation before anybody else on earth, right? She has this visitation. How are you going to do this? How are you going to bring this Messiah and all your promising? How are you going to bring the King of Kings to earth? You know, how will this be? I'm a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, and here it is. She's telling this to this lady who's about to become a mother. For no word from God will ever fail. Wow. So we just need two things, a word from God and faith to believe and prayer to bring it to pass. That's three things. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. This is such a critical thing to see this. Let your word to me be fulfilled. I mean, it's amazing. She's about to become pregnant by God, have the Son of God, the Messiah, that she was very well of prophesied through the centuries. May your word to me be fulfilled, which is very, very helpful to us today. When we get words and promises, even if we read them out of the Bible and they just jump out of us, it's really important for us to take those words and say, Lord, why not me? May your word to me be fulfilled. This is why this is in the Bible. So she's the greatest example, right? At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, what's going on here? I mean, two moms. Nobody else knows anything about two moms-to-be. Nobody else knows what's going on here. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you'll bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Who would that be? John the Baptist. So she's pregnant. Mary comes. The baby leaps in her womb. Blessed is she who has believed that the promises that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. Blessed is she, I'm just going to say this over the whole congregation, it's Mother's Day, all you moms. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. By the way, if it's in the book and it's good, pretty much you could take a hold of that promise for your own, right? You don't have to be super spiritual about this. But women have a tendency to do this. I would say, not better maybe is the wrong word, but maybe more tenaciously. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. I'm going to declare that over the whole congregation. This is Mother's Day. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. So we see Rebecca, Esau, and Jacob. Rebecca's the mom, Esau and Jacob, and two nations are about to come forth. And she's directing traffic, you know. She's hearing this from God, from the Lord. And the Lord says the older will serve the younger, meaning Jacob, the Esau will serve Jacob. And we see another mother situation with James and John, two sons in the New Testament, right? And Matthew chapter 20, then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with his sons and kneeling down asked a favor of him. She recognized Jesus was something special. And she wanted to make sure her sons got in on it, right? What is it you want, he asked. Now he knew exactly. That's a good question. You think Jesus didn't know what she wanted? He's the Son of God. He knew what she wanted, but he wanted to hear her say it. I don't understand this about prayer. He already knows what you want. He just wants to hear you say it because faith makes the world go round. It's not just that you uttered the words. It's that you're actually pursuing God for something you need. What is it you want, he asked. Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. Now, wow, that's a pretty big prayer. She went for the whole, everything, man. She went for the whole deal. This is Messiah prophesied. This is God in the flesh, you know. Grant that one of these two sons may sit at your right hand and another at your left. She's even prophesying about what's going to happen. There's going to be a kingdom. It'll be consummated, and they're all going to be there in this glorious kingdom. And after the world's all done and burned up and we got a new era, let one of my sons be on one side and one son on the other. Is that okay? No, I really like that. I don't think, I don't know if, I'm sure it didn't catch him by surprise, but he says, you don't know exactly what you're asking. But you know what? Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink? We can, they answered. Now he's telling these two boys. We can. Yep, sure can. And they did. You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right and left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father. But you get the idea. It's the beauty of moms, this ability to be audacious. And it's something that all of us should learn because this has tremendous context for all of us. Prayer is a powerful, powerful weapon we have. It's not even a weapon as it is a fellowship. But the fact that we can ask for things is one of the most beautiful things that we have, good things. And sometimes things that, you know, we would not believe. You know, I don't know why, but when I came to the Lord when I was little, just little, and I had just this wonderful mom who actually, I look back on it, I was my first grade Sunday school teacher. She trained me. She talked because she couldn't stop talking about prayer. In my little mind, you know, I just go through the toys I wanted. And I'd ask her, could that mean if like at Christmas, if I prayed for something, would I actually get it, you know? Or if, you know, I had a long list, and she would always say, yes, absolutely. And she would not bat an eye. She made me believe it. I learned my first steps through this first grade Sunday school teacher. Listen, you guys, you can't imagine the effect that our teachers, even at a young age, have on kids when they're learning, you know, about something or something about God from just a slightly different angle. And that mom, my, what an influence she had in my life. And I've been asking ever since. From that moment, I can remember, I started asking for stuff. I mean, I asked for all kinds of stuff, you know. I had little latest thing on TV, whatever it was, I asked for it, right? And I got more serious as time went on because actually I got a few of those things, and sometimes my parents would tell me, no way you're getting that, and then I'd get it, right? Well, parents do that, I guess, supposedly, but I always took it as a miracle because I'm praying, right? So I just kept putting this all together, right? And then when I wanted to be the most valuable player of a team or whatever, like even like in third or fourth grade and they were going to give an award away, I'd be praying for that. I pray for that sometimes 6 months. Crazy. And then I'd get it. So when I got it, I go, man, this stuff works. I really like this. And I didn't get everything, but enough to go, this is good. And moms and grandmas were at the core of it as well. And I remember my grandmother talking to me about this. Son, you can pray for anything. You can pray for anything. You can. Don't worry. You know. Well, and then I go through the list. So, declaring and believing in the destinies of others is A4 in your outline. So listen to this. So God's prophesying over them. And he says there's going to be trouble, bad trouble. This is what the Lord says. When the 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promises to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you. He didn't want them to go to that place, but their disobedience opened the door for it. And also he was going to do a marvelous work through this whole thing of exile. Those purposes that he worked out in the exile of Israel are still working out today, by the way. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Lord, I declare that today. Not to harm us, to give us a hope and a future. Then you'll come on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. So he's got these plans. But notice the very next thing he says. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. So there's a 1-2 punch here. First, the Lord gives a promise, makes an offer, and the second thing is we pray it in. It's a mystery in a way. It's a mysterious thing how that works. Well, if I'm going to get it, why should I pray about it? Well, you're part of this. You're part of this. You get the promises, and you pray them in, right? You understand the promises. I set those in place. I might speak to you through my Bible about a promise. I might speak to you another way. But then you'll call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. So here's how it works. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So this part of this prayer thing is this union that God's bringing. Even when there are things to be prayed about, the heart of the whole thing is you guys are together, God and you. You're partners together. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the places and places where I've banished you, declares the Lord, and bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. So they went into exile, and they began to pray earnestly for God to bring them back. Now, there's this guy, remember his name, Daniel? So he prayed, he took this word while he's in this empire, totally away from Israel, and he's become an official, and he's praying like crazy 3 times a day for the return of Israel back to her homeland. Except that the administrative people around him, who are his equals, wanted to get rid of him. So they told on him because they said to the ruler, hey, let's make an edict. Why don't you make an edict that no one can pray to you, O king, and that's the only one, no other gods, right? Well, Daniel wouldn't stop. He was so enamored with God. He knew it was so real and the promise was so real. He continued to pray 3 times a day to God. And they caught him doing it because he'd always open the door window. So, and it was very public, I mean, very visible. And they caught him and they threw him in the lion's den. Prayer preceded Daniel in the lion's den. And a mountain, God closed their mouths and he got out, right? And something more wonderful happened. But he believed in this prayer so much he was willing to go to the lions for it. Because God had said, and that's the amazing thing, God said, after 70 years, you're going back. And he knew the time was coming. But even though he knew that that was the promise, he understood something about an economy of God to pray 3 times a day. So even if you know something's going to happen, there's something about us in our partnership with God that he loves. So Daniel's praying 3 times a day, and he above all believed it would happen and was willing to go to the lion's den about it and didn't care about his prayer. He couldn't interrupt his prayer life because he was actually a part of it. So you get a promise, but you're also a part of the answer, and it's a mystery in a way. Well, if it's just a promise, is this going to happen? No, it doesn't work like that. There's a promise. It's like an offer, and then you pray along with God till it happens. And that's the most beautiful arrangement you can imagine. You just know your part. You don't have to know why, all the reasons why. I could summarize. I could think of a lot of things because of the warfare. Literally, we see in Daniel's story the empowerment of angels. They were empowered by his prayers. They would come and visit, and demonic warfare was being interfered with. All of that's all a part of it, right? So we look at another character in the Bible. Her name's Hannah, and her son, whose son who is going to be the prophet Samuel. Hannah did not let barrenness keep her from praying for God's promises. So she didn't know she was going to have Samuel, and she's barren, and she can't seem to get pregnant. Because the Lord had closed Anna's womb, interesting, the Lord closed Anna's womb. I never thought of it that way, but had something in mind for this child. And in this thing he had in mind, it was going to be quite spectacular. It was going to be a prophet and a whole other dispensation for Israel's history. But there was something special about her and her involvement in this. And we see it applying to our own lives. Could it be that God still speaks promises? But we think of promises like Disneyland or something that we're just going to get. But there's something about it. He speaks a promise, so we get on line with him and start praying it in. In other words, this is the way God makes divine partnerships. He gives a promise, and then you're the partner. And between you and him, you have this marvelous chemistry that happens. So because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her. And this went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her, made fun of her. She wept and would not eat. Her husband Elkanah would say to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you so downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Typical man. It's all about me. What about my needs? I shouldn't say that. But it happens. Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, Lord Almighty, if you'll only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. And that's a really deep, painful thing. Eli thought she was drunk. Man, not looking the guys aren't looking too good in this story. He said to her, how long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine. So the thing is, okay, that's a weird thing, but he wasn't too astute there. But nevertheless, she's engaged. Her heart's engaged. Her soul's engaged. She's praying so hard that it looks like she's physically affected. She's interceding. Sometimes intercession comes like that. It affects you physically, mentally. It affects you. You're shaking. You're trembling. Sometimes it's that strong. And when it happens, it's very, very good, but it's the initiation of the Lord. Not always. I've said a lot of prayers just off the cuff and then happen, right, without too emotional thing. But there's something here to be learned, something to be pursued, something about this. There's a partnership. it's between you and the Lord, and you're working together and having this new thing happen. No, my Lord, Hannah replied, I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I've been praying here out of my great grief and anguish. And it was about having a child. Eli answered, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked him. She said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went away and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, they arose and worshiped before the Lord, then went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, which means heard of the Lord, or sounds in the Hebrew like heard of the Lord. She named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. Because I asked the Lord for him. She could have stopped asking because of her painful circumstances. And this is certainly a warning for our times. By that I mean maybe times that we all enter into that are difficult. Matter of fact, sometimes when we enter into difficult times and even seasons for the nation, the first thing we stop doing is praying. We become disillusioned. We don't turn there in faith. Matter of fact, the thing's so intimidating that we can't pray. We never need to let a thing get that intimidating for us. Matter of fact, that's a good sign that you should be praying more than ever, because somebody doesn't want you praying, and it's not God. Matter of fact, he wants you to pray all the more. So here we see Luke 21, verse 29. I just want to read a few verses. He told in this parable, look at the fig tree and all the leaves. When they sprout leaves, you can see for themselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God's near. He's talking about bad things happening all over the place. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will not, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Now, here's the response. I don't know yet about you guys, but there's been a fair amount of doomsday talk about the world, where the world's headed, even the end of the world, even amongst Christians, wondering if the Antichrist is going to come anytime soon, whatever. But regardless of what our viewpoint is on that, I can't help but think, and I think it's been the case for maybe 40 or 50 years, and I can tell you, many of us can tell you kind of when it all happened. It's happened in the 60s and 70s, an awareness of the second coming of Jesus Christ. An awareness of tribulation came on the church in a way I don't think it had for many, many years before. We call it the Jesus People Movement, whatever, but it was an awareness of the soon coming of the Lord. But in this awareness, it's really, really important. This is the way you behave if you have that awareness. Be careful or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. Okay, maybe carousing and drunkenness isn't a problem for you, but anxieties of life can definitely interfere with this beauty that moms seem to have better than men in many ways, or fathers. They have something natural about them. Maybe it's carrying the baby, but this whole understanding of prayer and pursuing God. But he says, you know, pray. Don't let the anxieties of life, and that would go for any time or any season, whether it's the end of time or whether you're in it, don't let it come and close on you suddenly like a trap. In other words, that's why we pray. Lead us not into temptation. That means lead us not into trial, but deliver us from evil. Did you know you can avoid trouble just by praying that simple prayer? I do it all the time. I got enough trouble as it is. I don't need any more. So Lord, please keep me out of trouble. I do. I pray that constantly. Dumb if you don't do that. I've never understood why people wouldn't pray that. I mean, I'm not a big baby, I don't think. I don't like pain very much. So, and I believe, he says, look, don't let anxieties of life close in on you. Look, be aware. For it will come, now this particular anxiety he's talking about, will come on all those who live on the face of the earth. So here's the response to that. It's a response to all the trouble you have to face in your life. This isn't the end time. This is what we do in the end times, right? But now, because that's why he says, be always on the watch and pray you may be able to escape all that is about to happen. Why is that? Because the devil's like a lion, roaring, looking for someone to devour. He didn't stop doing that when you became a Christian. So this applies that to that, but also to a later time. Pray that you may be able to escape all that's about to happen. In their case, it was the destruction of Israel as a country. And that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. So that would be also an end time feeling there, right? So the bottom line is, trouble means prayer. When we get in trouble, there's a threat of trouble. That's why in the Lord's Prayer, it says one of my favorite lines. Most people don't even think about it. Lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. Temptation could be translated testing. In other words, God, keep me out of trouble. I don't want to be sick. I don't want to have something happen to my finances. I don't want to have something happen to my family. Lead me away from that. You get to pray that. It's part of the Lord's Prayer. You get to pray that you don't have trouble. I think that's a pretty good deal. If you don't believe in prayer, it doesn't do you any good. But if God really answers prayer, so God just, I don't, usually we pray after we have trouble. But guess what? You could pray before you have trouble. When I figure that out, man, I've been praying that for my whole life. Lord, just keep me out of trouble. It takes only one problem, one serious issue in your life. And if you realize you could actually probably pray that other things don't happen in your life like that, it's quite a faith builder, and it really encourages you a lot. It also makes you confident in life. Hey, I prayed. Lord, no testing is going to come against me that I can't handle. Nothing's going to happen. This had to go through the strainer of my prayer. It had to come right through the strainer of my prayer. Evidently, this is something that I'm going to go through, but God's going to help me. Right? I love this. I love these whole concepts because I think the longer you do this, be alert, always on the watch. Because why? The devil's like a lion. He's roaring, trying to find someone to eat. Be alert, always on the watch. Pray that you may be able to escape all that's about to happen. Now, he's talking about an end time situation, right? A situation, well, actually a situation that's about to happen to Israel. After Jesus leaves, then eventually soon, within the generation, they'll be destroyed, right? And there's going to be the Romans come and they'll be a captive country. So I love this great secret. It's not by strength that one prevails. This comes out of 1 Samuel 2:6-9, going back to this story of Samuel. 1 Samuel 2, the Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. On them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful servants, but the wicked will be silenced in the place of darkness. Now listen to this. I love this verse so much. It is not by strength that one prevails. Our culture is all about strength. We prevail because of our great technology. We prevail because of our great taekwondo warfare we learned, or boxing, or it's not by strength that we lift weights all day and all night, you know. We're not going to prevail because, you know, we had the perfect diet our whole life, right? We prevail not by our strength, but by the Lord. That's how we prevail. I'm going to say this again. It is not by strength that one prevails. What are the other areas that you need to prevail in? Your job, your opportunity coming to you. Praying and asking God is one of the best things you could do. It's one of the most wonderful gifts because it's such a weak thing. You bow down and you think, I don't have a bit of faith in my head. I can do, my man. I'll do it anyway. It's not by strength. I definitely don't have any strength, so this verse is for me. But that's not it. It's not how positive you are. It's not how glorious you think yourself. Sometimes intercessors get it all wrong. They get a real air about them. Sometimes they go the wrong direction. They're doing it in the name of faith. There's kind of a pride they carry with them and everything. You know, you don't want to do that ever as an intercessor, even though you know something other people don't know and you pray a lot and everything. Don't carry that. Whatever it is, it's still not going to be by your strength. God gave you the ability and you're praying because of your weakness and because of God's strength and God. Oh, even better for God's love. If God cared enough to bring his son for you, Jesus, and let him shed blood, a horrible death, why wouldn't he answer your prayers? Matter of fact, that's why they taught me. My little first grade teacher that taught me to pray. Now, this is what you do. You pray in the name of Jesus all the time. Before you get done, you say, in the name of Jesus. So, because it's not by strength that one prevails. It's not even your majestic prayers. Sometimes I prayed stuff and I could just barely grunt. And God answered it. Other times I was so eloquent, I thought, man, that's the best prayer I ever heard. Right? nothing happened. I think grunts are better. Get you down to reality, right? Hannah converted one answer to prayer into many more answers by allowing her miracle to live before the Lord. Now, what happened? So here, she gets this answer. She gets pregnant. But guess what happens? 1 Samuel 1:21-28. And Hannah, and the Lord was gracious to Hannah. She gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. So what happened was, she got pregnant, and she devoted this little boy to the Lord. And she takes him up, and he's standing there, and he was with Eli all the time. And he, from the time he was little, and he grew up to be a great prophet in Israel. But look what happened. She gave her son, the one that she'd been praying for, to the Lord for that specific purpose. But the Lord was gracious to Hannah, and he gave her what she didn't ask for. 3 sons and 2 daughters more. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord, and he became one of Israel's greatest prophets, right? Preceding the advent of David and the great King David and what happened with Israel then, right? You can't outgive God. So she gave Samuel, but she got back 3 boys and 2 girls. And of course, she didn't lose relationship with Samuel. He just was an unusual son, which she was proud of. So look at Roman number 2. Our prayers can pull the future into the present. God somehow makes himself vulnerable to us. We see this Mary at Cana. On a third day, a wedding took place in Galilee. And so she says to Jesus, you know, the wine's gone, Jesus. Jesus looks at his mom and says, why do you involve me? My hour's not yet come. I can't be doing these things. Okay. Now, she knows this is the Son of God. And he tells her, I can't do that. My hour has not yet come. Then what happens? His mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. She ignores what he said completely. She doesn't even take it in. This is the Son of God. She knows where he came from. He's saying, you know, I'm not doing this right now. Okay, fill the jars with water, Jesus says. There's something about this that's amazing to me. I mean, my hour has not yet come. What part of that don't you understand, Mom? Okay, fill the waters with jar with water. She says to the servant, do whatever he says. So he fills this huge, I mean, have you ever seen one of these jars? I mean, they're not like a little tiny jar. I mean, they're gigantic. I mean, we're talking about massive gallons, right? Take some to the master of the banquet. Now draw some out and take to the master of the banquet. So they did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. That he called the bridegroom aside and said, you know what? Everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests got too a little bit much to drink. But you saved the best till now. It's because his mom told Jesus to turn the water, do something about the situation, so he turned and to do whatever he says, right? And Jesus is saying, I can't do this right now. You know, I'm on this schedule with my Father in heaven. She doesn't even hear. There's just something about that that's so cool. Do we actually have that kind of access? After all, it's his mom. Yeah, but Jesus said, you know, who are my brothers and sisters? Who are my relatives? We're all relatives, right? So we should have sense enough to know that we have this amazing access. So listen to this. Jesus left this place. This is in Mark chapter 7, verse 24, and went to the vicinity of Tyre. Now, Tyre is completely outside of Israel. He entered a house and didn't want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an impure spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. First, let the children get all they want. He was talking about Jews. You know, I've been sent primarily this time for the Jews, and then they're going to be taking the gospel of the world. He didn't go into all that. And then he goes this. He says this. Now, wow, I don't know what I would have done if that would have happened. I probably would have walked away and been embarrassed. But for it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs, meaning her. There's no other way to read it. Gentiles, that's what they were called, dogs. I mean, of all the things he could have said, that wasn't even very nice, I don't think. I mean, wow. But he was proving something. He offended her. But this woman says, Lord, even the dogs under the table get the children's crumbs. Is he trying to speak to us about something here? I'm not worthy. I've done this and that. I don't pray much. You know, my wife does all that. Then he said to her, listen to this. Even though I'm not supposed to be doing this right now, I'll be doing that with the Gentiles a little bit later. For such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. I just find that utterly crazy. I mean, she went home, found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Just because she asked. In a situation where she shouldn't have asked, and she's basically being offensive. She's a Gentile. And he's telling her, I don't want to do this. And he does it anyway. Could it be that God sometimes plays hard to get? You know what the answer to that is? Yes. Yes, yes, yes. He does play hard to get. He does. And he draws you out. And he keeps drawing you out. And that little teacher of my first grade Sunday school class said, you know what? If you don't get it at first, here's what you do. You just keep on praying until you get it. Okay. So I get into pray things. I mean, they had fuses on them. I pray for things, you know, for a year. And then I get it. And I go, hot dog, it works. You know, and then I get in a couple other things in a couple of days, man. I became a little prayer entrepreneurial, you know, from my first grade Sunday school teacher. Lord, bless our Sunday school teachers. They're sowing things in our kids that'll last them a lifetime. So the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Revelation, look, I'm coming soon. Revelation 22:7. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy written in the scroll. Okay, good. He's coming back. He's coming back. We're dancing around. He's coming back. He's coming back. But you know what? There's another part to this. So he's not just coming back and then we're just going to, we hope he shows up today or tomorrow. No. Guess what the bride, the church does? They're supposed to be praying him in. You understand? We persist. We ask. We don't just discern, wow, things are really bad. Yippee. We're about to get out of here. No. First of all, we address that wicked world. That's where all the new converts are coming from, number one. But number two, look, it's part of our privilege to pray in the kingdom in the midst of these circumstances. So the enemy's plans don't come to pass, but God's do in a way we couldn't have imagined. It's a triumphant thing. Yes, the end times are the end times, but your role is even more exciting because you can change things. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable. I'm glad I got one person that likes what I'm saying. To show them that they, listen to this. He told them a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. I've given up on praying for my golf scores. Besides that, I still pray for everything. And it's, maybe I shouldn't. I haven't played in a while. If I start praying, maybe I'll be out on the course again. Anyway, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. This was not a nice guy. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally said to himself, you know, I don't fear God. I don't care what people think. I don't care anything. This widow is bugging me to death. I'll see that she gets justice so she won't attack me. I'm worried about her attacking me. Listen to what the unjust judge says. This is Jesus Christ speaking, by the way. If you fell asleep, the Bible says right here, listen to what the unjust judge says. This is Jesus talking to you. Listen, listen. And will God not bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? You know, when the Son of Man comes, when there's faith on the earth and people are praying so hard, they're asking him to come. They're believing him to come. The power of God. You know, it's part of the Jesus people movement. You know what it was? What was their message? It was a message about the soon return of Jesus Christ. The revival came in our own area, this area, right? So part of this whole thing is praying and exalting God. But when the Son of Man comes, is he going to find people praying for him to come? In other words, this is all related. Second coming, fine. Get your chart out and look at all the horrible things that are happening and the lions in Europe or whatever the heck it is, you know, and the Antichrist. We think maybe he's over here. No, maybe he's over there. Let me tell you, chosen ones crying out to him day and night. I tell you, He gets justice. But when he comes, is he going to find somebody ready for him? Right? Moms demonstrate tenderness. It's God's heart to be mom-like. Like God, moms have a unique ability to be tender with their offspring. I usually didn't have much room for that one. Okay, great. God's, you know, fine. But I didn't know what that meant. So, like, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you, and you'll be comforted over Jerusalem. That's Isaiah 66:13. So God calls himself like a mother comforts her child. And this comfort of God, this love of God, I didn't have much room for it because I didn't know that God could actually bring affection like that where you actually felt the tenderness. Moms understand this tenderness part better than men. But all of us are offered this tenderness from the Holy Spirit. It's part of us in terms of our walk with God. It's part of us that enables us actually to pray. Till God touches the tender places in your heart, and we call that around here, we love to call it the Father's love. There's whole sections of our spirituality that are kind of left out. Because tenderness from the Holy Spirit, when you feel God loves you, when you feel that love, it supernaturally means you want to pray. When God gets tender to you, lovely to you, there's something about it that makes you want to intercede. And so the end time church is going to be this tenderized bride. She's not going to be a bride with army boots. That somehow characterizes the bride of Christ. We're going to be these warriors and fighting and recognizing this and that. You know what's really going to happen? We're going to be tender, loving, humble people, loving God with all our heart, experiencing his mercy and his grace, and crying out for him. That's the kind of bride Jesus is looking for. And when you're in that place, you can pray forever. You know, your zeal only lasts so long. You're the tough guy. Yeah, I rebuke that. I bind this. Yeah. You say it about 10 minutes. Okay, I got that out of the way. Tenderness is different when you pray toward God. God, have mercy. I can't stand it, Lord. I can't stand that person to be sick. Lord, have mercy. And all the other things. I can't stand it that our country's in this place. Have mercy on us. Have mercy. This place, you can pray on a clear day forever in that space. The other one's like, then it's over. Mercy brings a different thing. Moms demonstrate this tenderness. That's why I think they pray more than other people. Zephaniah 3:17, listen to this passage. The Lord God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. Yeah, he'll take great delight in you. Yeah. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. Rejoice over me with singing? That's what it says. In his love, he won't rebuke you. He'll rejoice. Could it be that, like when we sing and we hear the voice of the music and everything, could it be that sometimes I swear God's singing over us? Sometimes I think it's not just us, it's other voices. Sometimes in worship, it happens like that. You can just feel there's something else in the room. I think it's the Lord rejoicing over you with singing, just like you're singing to him. It'd be just like him to do something like that, especially if you understand the beauty of moms. Sounds beautiful and romantic, even tender and soft, but that's what they do. That's what they show us, and that's who God is. That's why we talk a lot about the Father's love around here, because the Father loves the Son. And when the Father loves the Son, he shows him all that he's doing. That's where you get your information. You want to be a prophet? Feel the love of God. And you'll start hearing lots of things. And moms demonstrate this so well. A mother's love gives her kids confidence and stability. God stabilizes us with his compassion and shows what he's doing. Listen to a mom talk to her kid sometimes. It's really amazing. Men grunt. Women communicate. Listen to a mom talk to her kids. Now, this is why we're going to do this. And we're going to go over here, you know. There's this crazy thing going down underneath my house. So I got this house. It's kind of on a hill. And then underneath it, it's like this preschool thing. And I'm listening to this teacher all the time talking to these kids. It's, you know, now kids, you know, it's amazing. And I just listen to her. I'm thinking, wow. And the kids are howling and blah, blah, screaming at them. And nobody seems to be in charge except, because I can't see the kids very well, but then all of a sudden I'll hear this voice. Now it's like, okay, it's like, okay, it's going to be okay, don't worry. And then it's all quiet again. All of a sudden, blah, blah, blah. I mean, But listen, I don't know why I said all that. But anyway, oh, God stabilizes us with his compassion and shows us what he's doing. And this is my favorite verse of all time, maybe, in the whole Bible. And then I'll probably have 10 others like this. But very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what the Father's doing. Because the Father does what the Father does, the Son also does. But how does the Son know what the Father's doing? For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, he'll show him even greater things than these so that you'll be amazed. In other words, Jesus got his power. Hey, heal that person. Raise the dead. Why? Because the Father loves his Son and show him, hey, Son, we're raising Lazarus. Just leave him alone for a while. Come back. Raise him from the dead. Notice the word loves, affection, and the voice of God. Affection, the voice of God. Those two are related. And moms, if you just listen to a mom talk to her kids, it's a beautiful thing. It's a lesson. It's a lesson. God wants to talk to you like that. Explain things to you like that. But, you know, the tone of God's voice, we think he's so harsh, but he isn't. One of the most powerful stories in the whole Bible is Mary's presence at the foot of the cross. Love and courage brought her there. She knew deep inside there was more to the plan than met the eye. His mom was there. Everybody else deserted. It wasn't that she just understood he was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. She understood God had a plan. There had to be more. And she saw it. Jesus appeared to her, resurrecting from the dead. Moms model the unconditional love Jesus has for us. Their children would do the same. This is the reason loving parents are so important. We love God because he first loved us. So when we love our children, they become lovers, right? But have you ever heard of the love of God? You can't be a lover without God loving you. Moms demonstrate this so beautifully. This attachment we have for our moms. We got lots of room for our moms, long as they loved us and were kind to us, right? We'll move things we don't want to move. We'll jump over things in a single bound. Because the compassion, the love is what turns everybody into a different kind of person. So last thing, an encouragement to all for all moms. First of all, I like Isaiah 49:18 so much. And this is about your children. I just think it's such a cool passage. Isaiah 49:14-18. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. You think God's left you? Just remember, your heart toward your own children. And that's God's heart toward you. I'm not going to forget you. I don't care what the situation is. See, you know what? I've even engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. Your children hasten back, and those who laid you waste depart from you. Lift up your eyes and look around. All your children gather and come to me. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, you'll wear them all as ornaments. You'll put them on like a bride. I declare that over every woman that's praying for a lost son, a son or daughter is not doing well. I declare this over you in Jesus' name. You'll wear them like ornaments. You'll put them on like a bride. They will be your pride and joy. Look around. Your children will gather and come to you. I've engraved you on the palms of my hands. That's what the Lord says. And he's not going to forget your kids. Your kids are coming back. Lord, I pray for anyone right now that's got kids that aren't doing so good. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, this amazing promise. Let our women, let our men wear them like ornaments. May they make us proud. May they make us proud in Jesus' name. So, look at B on the outline there, very bottom. Each child has a special purpose. I love Isaiah 8:18. Here am I and the children whom the Lord has given me. We are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts. I declare, women, your children are for signs and wonders. Your children are for signs and wonders. They're just not anybody. They're someone specific. And you know what? Your prayers are going to help them get there. You're raising them in the strength and the admonition of the Lord. They are built, they are made for something special. Each of them has a unique gift and ability. They were made for signs and wonders. This is the next one. All your children, I declare, will be taught by the Lord, and great will be their peace. Isaiah 54:13. All these things were purchased for us on the cross. All your children, we betaught the Lord, and great will be their peace. Won't we stand? Thank you, Jesus. If I have the band come up. I would like to do this, and it will take, because I know eating's a very big deal today. I'll take 5 minutes or so. Because today, I think there are moms who have some specific things on their list they're praying for. By praying, I don't mean just praying. I mean interceding for. I mean contending for. Most typically over your children, but maybe other things as well. On this Mother's Day, wouldn't it be something if you could look at your watch and say, on that day, it was the 10th of May, and right around noon, I prayed this over my life, over my family, over my kids. And I'll just expand that. So let's just take that from not only moms who are praying for lost kids and for hurts and pains and jobs, but let's just take all the women who want to pray. Maybe you're asking God for a husband. Maybe you're asking God for something specific as well. And I just think on this Mother's Day, and the way that I can feel in my heart today, I just believe there's a lot of faith in our particular church for women when they pray. So maybe you're praying for a husband. Maybe you're looking for a job. Maybe there's something special that you need, something that hasn't happened. But maybe you're a mom. They're looking for kids to come to Christ. Maybe you're a mom that's looking for some kind of job or whatever. But I just think there's extra grace. And if you'll come up here today just for a few minutes, whether you're a mom or you're not, why don't you come up here and just pray if you like. Just come to the front. And we're just going to do a little music. And I'm going to pray with you. And I'm going to ask that on this Mother's Day, when we pray, we mark it down in our book. See, you know, I went up to the altar at that Vineyard Church, that crazy place where the services are too long, can't find a place to park. And they got some kind of big store over there. I don't know what that's all about. And a tent in the back, which I really don't understand how they could even get away with that in Laguna Niguel. So there's a little different stuff going on here. But one thing that we do love and have a lot of faith for is prayer, but especially on Mother's Day. So just keep on coming up, any of the women that want to come. Whether you're a mother or not, I'd come if I were you. And I'd ask boldly, whether it's for children or for something else. Maybe you need a husband or maybe you need something else. Just come and be bold. All right. So husbands and dads and guys and other women who haven't come up, just lift your hand up to these because they're here for a reason. I believe you, no woman would come up here without something in mind. So they got something in mind that they're praying for today. There's something in mind that's on their heart. That's how God made you, you know. That's why you're here. You're standing on your cane. That's why you're here this morning, right? Asking God for something amazing. Lord, it's Mom's Day. And you know what happens when moms start contending or and when the women, Lord, who are built like this, whether they're a mom or not, want to be moms, or they just have this anointing as a grandma, or maybe just they just love to pray. But Lord, I pray today you would hear all the prayers that are offered up at the altar right now in Jesus' name. I pray, God, you would hear from heaven. And guys, you can lift up a couple of prayers today as well if you like. But on this Mother's Day, I pray, God, everything that's uttered in prayer today about their life, about what they need, about things that they're pursuing, I pray in the name of Jesus you would open the heavens over us right now. I pray as we pray, you would hear. I pray you would take away the stain of unanswered prayer, the sting of unanswered prayer, the disappointment. I just wash it away by the word of God. I know what happens when women contend for the gospel and for God and for their kids and for other things, husbands and wives, whatever. I mean, husband, not wives. Women for husbands. Yes, clear out that. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, hear from heaven these things. As we're worshiping here, we're just going to spend 5 or 10 minutes. Maybe you're just here for 5 or 10 minutes. But I pray every word that's uttered right now, male or female, will be heard by God. And you would answer our prayers. And we can mark it down in a book. I prayed. I poured out my heart before the Lord for this. And it happened. You opened a door that no man could close. You caused something to happen in my life that I thought was unfixable. Lord, on this Mother's Day, as we pray, I pray you would do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Just stay up here and do some business with the Lord as we just worship. If you need to go, feel free.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us. We're so glad that you made it. If you have questions or would like more information about our church, go to vineyardln.com, and we'll see you next time.